Thanks for joining me on this edition of Ready to Prime, brought to you by Columbia Technology Partners and, of course, our friends at Federal News Radio. I'm here in the office of the Small Business Administration with two incredible people. One I just met today, and the other one I met several months ago in West Virginia.
Her name is Natalia Olson Arteco. She is the Mid-Atlantic Regional Administrator for the U.S. Small Business Administration and her district director, Antonio Doss. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you for having us. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. So Ready to Prime, a program that's all about that small business that's ready to take the leap to potentially prime their first name. Yeah, see how I got the name there? Ready to Prime.
Yeah, that's
slick, right? So here I am working for that large company, and I decide, you know what? I think I can do this better on my own. I'm going to take that leap. I want to hear from you guys. Small Business Administration has got every small business's back.
Well, there's so many different ways that we can help you at the SBA.
Right.
We have an amazing network of resource partners. So if you're getting to start and you want to do your business plan, the SCORE chapters are a great resource. They're retired CEOs. They can walk you every step of the way.
We've got our small business development centers. They're hosted here locally at Howard University, George Mason University in Virginia, and University of Maryland. And we also have three women's business centers that are located in Rockville, D.C., and Springfield, Virginia. And then on top of that, we also, if you're a veteran, we have a new Veterans Business Opportunity Center also located in Springfield, Virginia. So we've got a lot of on-the-ground resources. And then if you're starting, the SBA.gov website has a host of information sources that are really, really beneficial to small businesses.
SBA.gov is the place where I started and did a little research.
Okay.
And like I said, there's so many places that you can go to look at, so many different programs that you as a small business owner could consider partnering with the Small Business Administration to move through. One of them, and we talked about it briefly a moment ago, was the 8A program.
Yes.
8A program is huge, but it's not something you can remain in permanently, correct?
Correct.
Absolutely. You can only be in the 8A program for 9 years.
Okay.
The 8A actually requires about 2-3 years of being in business. We need for you to be prepared to be able to sell to the U.S. government. You know, the U.S. government spends close to $500 billion a year. And so just like we want, you know, you to be able to deliver other product or service, we may want to make sure that you are at that position, and then we can help you every step of the way through the 8A program.
Yeah. So what we really urge business owners to think about is, when is the right time to get into the 8A program? Because you only have one opportunity the entire time that your business exists, and for you as an individual to be in the program. So you can get in it too early, and essentially you take a 9-year program and get less than 9 years of value out of it if you get in too early. But if you get in at the right time, you can really develop your business, you can get more support from the agency, and you have better opportunities to procure contracts with the federal government. One of the things we ask is, to what extent do you have relationships with the federal contracting officials?
Okay.
If nobody knows you in the federal contracting world right now, you're probably a little bit early, because it's going to take you, most business owners, a couple, 2-3 years before they build those kind of relationships where then they can actually take advantage of having the 8A contract capabilities.
And so we have workshops, for example, not only at the resource partners, but at the SBA here. So getting to look at our website and look at the events we have, you can start meeting some of these folks, because we invite other agencies and departments to do joint workshops with us. So you can start meeting those contracting officers, which was highly recommended. They're free. They're all free.
Sure. One of the things that people always think of is, wow, I'm going to get hooked up with an agency that's going to now walk me through this process. I'm not going to need to do any work. Mm-hmm. That's far from true.
As a business owner myself, that is not true at all. You have to do your homework, and you have to be aggressive, and you have to get out there and make sure that you build those relationships and you stay true to them, because, no, we're not here to build your business.
Right.
We're in the government. We're here to...
She just stomped her foot. The government.
We are here to help you and to guide you in every possible way. You know, we're the only agency and department with business as part of our name. So we're very true to that. And so we expect for entrepreneurs and business owners to be, you know, business owners and aggressive and want to do their job too.
If you could do it all over again as a business owner, mm-hmm. what path would you recommend someone taking hitting the Small Business Administration website, that SBA.gov?
Sure. I mean, my first business, I failed. My second business, I didn't
and
know.
And you're admitting it.
Yes. You have to. You have to be able to see your failures and learn from them.
Okay.
But my second business, Score Chapter and the SBDC helped me.
Okay.
And that's why my business actually was successful.
Okay.
Because I took the help that they were able to offer. I didn't know what SBA did, but I, SBDCs were great to me, and that personal attention and counseling mm-hmm. was so helpful. I mean, we have stats that say a business who has been able to get five to 7 hours.
Yeah, we've surveyed clients over the years of our SBDC. And so clients that get 5 hours or more of individual business coaching have companies that produce greater levels of revenue, they stay in business longer, and they hire more people. So those are all characteristics of companies that most people want to be affiliated with. So getting to an SBDC and getting that support can really make a big difference for a business owner.
Yeah, and like we say in Spanish, con una luz nadie se pierde. With a little bit of light, you won't get lost.
I took French. So clearly, I would have issues there. Let's talk about some of the other areas. As I mentioned, I work for Columbia Technology Partners, mm-hmm. and I also host this program, Ready to Prime. We are a service-disabled veteran, mm-hmm. woman-owned small business. That's a lot of boxes that we can check off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The path that we took is one that just made sense. But are you in the business of assisting people to determine that path?
Well, there's probably a couple different ways, depending on which of our resource partners you start with. And each of them can talk to an entrepreneur or a business owner about what path makes the most sense for them. In a lot of cases, it's even our Procurement Technical Assistance Center partners.
Those are great.
Yeah, because they're focused on really helping people get access to the federal contracting marketplace. So the PTACs, you may hear it referred to as that way. Each of them really help you think through what are the best steps for you to take. They won't give you the answers for yourself, but they will ask the questions.
Work.
Yes, you have to do work.
Well, it's business ownership, and as business ownership, you have to own your business, its plans, and all the other things.
People think that they're on vacation, that you're working for yourself. No, that's 24 hours.
Yeah.
At one point, I didn't pay myself for 6 months. I'd rather pay my employees. Because it is about, that sacrifice that you do.
Yeah.
And so, like Antonio was saying, we will guide you and we'll get you the best advice possible. But you do have to do your little bit of homework. And you talked about hub zones.
Yeah.
So we're very fortunate. This administration has been just so just positive in trying to get us to deliver more to minority-owned companies, women-owned companies, trying to help our hub zone process by getting folks to be able to help in this, by hiring people. The mm-hmm. important thing here is to hire folks to create opportunities in our communities, right? And so, we'd rather give folks jobs than anything else. I think that brings pride to our communities, which is
so
very important.
So explain the hub zone process.
Sure.
It's not one that is... I mean, it's relatively simple mm-hmm. on the outset, but it can be time consuming.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Explain to me how the process works. Like I mentioned earlier to you, we were talking off air, we have the staff mm-hmm. in the Hub Zone area. Mm-hmm. We have our location. Mm-hmm. Now, what's our next step? Like, do we come to you guys with paperwork and say, here we are, we're ready to go, we want to be Hub Zone? You're shaking your head like,
simple. Yeah, pretty much, yes. Let us know, because we have set-asides in the government procurement side. Like I said, the U.S. government spends $500 billion. And within that, when the president passed the Jobs Act, he increased that percentage to 23%. So everything that we buy or sell from the government has to go to small businesses, 23%. And within that, you have 5% for women-owned businesses, veteran, disabled veteran businesses, minority-owned companies. And so there's a specific priority given to companies like that. So if you're hiring, if you're in the hub zone and you have made that effort, then, we're going to go ahead and help you get some of those contracts.
Do you bring the hammer down on agencies that don't necessarily meet the requirements? Not the requirements, but the minimums?
Yeah, so we have a federal scoring process that we go through for all of our procurement activity every year. And we actually grade individual agencies. And those grades are made public. So from a I'll call it a public peer perspective. When you put out a grade that says, you know, your agency scored whatever, a B, a C, an A.
Or an F.
Or an F, and we've given Fs, then, you know, that becomes part of the public record and people recognize it. And then, more importantly, we try to also work with those agencies to help them figure out how do you address some of those gaps that you have. So whether it's persons from our Office of Government Contracting who manage that directly, the scorecards, or our Procurement Center representatives who work inside the federal agencies and help those federal agencies look for more ways to get contracts to small businesses, we do both. And the hub zone is actually our most challenged area. We always, as a government, have failed to make our 3% hub zone goal. But we continue to work on it, and we've had more success on the small business goal. This past year, we were at 24%, 24.99%. So, you know, that was a really, really good success compared to a 23% goal.
And, you know, we're very honest here. As a business, you have to be very transparent. Mm-hmm. And we met our goal just this past year of, you know, in 8 years, we finally made it, you know, that 23%.
Wow.
So it's been, you know, it's tough. You have to change a lot of the mentality and actually getting out there and letting people know. I'll tell you one thing, though. This administration has supported more than $163.2 billion in federal contracting. That it represents 68% more than the previous administration. So we really, and it is, you know, for us, we help financing, we help giving loans away, and we guarantee the loans. But we believe very much in my region, because we have the largest government portfolio, that a government contract goes a longer way.
I want to see both of you pat each other on the back now. You're both doing such a wonderful job. My guests right now are Natalia Olson-Arteco. Natalia is the Mid-Atlantic Regional Administrator for the U.S. Small Business Administration, ranging from Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 180 SBA offices. Mm-hmm. 100 and have you been to all of them?
Mostly. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I'm on the road a lot.
I know. I met you in West Virginia, of all places. I think I sat behind you at a dinette convention, and I'm like, hey, we should have carpooled. I wouldn't have stayed at that horrible hotel. What are you going to do? And, of course, Antonio Doss, who is her district director here in Washington, D.C. SBA.gov is the website. What's a phone number where people can call should they want to pick up the phone and just, hey, I got questions for you guys?
Sure. Our district office here is 202-205-8800.
You're listening to Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime. Small Business Administration is our guest. Let's take a step back now. You've mentioned financing. Here I am, ready to go. I'm working for that big company, and I say, I have no cash to do this myself, and I can't stand working for this company. I got ideas, and so they can come to you guys for money.
Yeah. Absolutely. We've had actually record years and because of the recession. But what we do is that we guarantee the loans.
Okay.
So the lenders, our bankers, our banking partners, which are called SBA lenders, they go ahead and process the loans. What we do the underwriting part. We go ahead and, you know, guide you through that process in many ways. We have lender relations specialists. And they're there to be able to, you know, assist you in understanding how to get some financing. And we go from microloans, you know, a couple thousand bucks, to $5 million. Mm-hmm. So, again, when the president passed the Jobs Act, he increased that to $5 million. So there's more capital out there.
The big thing is that our lending partners stand ready. All the banks and non-bank lenders, our microloan lenders, they all have goals. They all have objectives that they're trying to achieve. And a lot of them are really excited about using SBA loan programs. We've also just launched the beginnings of our new SBA 1 facility, which will make it easier for the lenders to actually make loans using an SBA guarantee. So we're hoping that that's another way that will help get more capital out into the marketplace.
And Link, for example, if you're a business and you want to go ahead and get, you know, see if you are able to qualify for a loan, It's like a matchmaking. So you fill a very simple form, very simple, and you put it out there, and then the lenders, all the banks, look at the database, and they go ahead and review the different forms. Very simple. It's called LINC, L-I-N-C.
They're like swiping left or right?
Yeah, something like that. Yes, you get a better date in the end. I prefer this matchmaking process.
Ooh, that's a
low
ratio. Not bad.
It is. It's like Match.com. but you get a better deal. But the point there is that we made it easier for folks to mm-hmm. understand that, like, do I qualify and so on. And we have, you know, reduced our criteria process. And one of the things that people don't know maybe is that the U.S. government is guaranteeing the loan to a certain percentage. Mm-hmm. So if you want to export, the government guarantees 90% of that. If you want to buy machinery, it could be between 50 and 70. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy a property, it runs the same thing. And so your collateral is much, much smaller than a conventional loan.
Let's talk about, we're talking about money here. Let's talk about the sequester. During the last sequester, did the conversations then bring up, hey, look, I need something to help bridge mm-hmm. this gap? How much of that support do you lend to organizations, if any?
Well, the sequester was very tough.
The whole sequestration and the government shutdown, you know, it brings a level of uncertainty.
Sure.
And maybe in this market even more so than every other market, because we are always considered to be a recession-proof market because we got the federal government. Yeah. But, you know, whoever thought the federal government would not be open all the time?
Yeah.
So when that happened, there were certainly lots of federal contractors who had contracts with the government, and they had to figure out how do they continue to do their business mm-hmm. with the government closed for that period of time. So that's where our financing still comes into play. You know,
still
the different
guaranteed.
Guaranteeing loans, and we probably saw actually upticks in requests because people knew that they needed to have a bigger buffer,
sure.
and where there was a level of uncertainty about how long that might be as well.
Sure.
Just this past year alone, it was $19.2 billion. That was, in loans.
Walking
that we did.
Money.
There we go. Point is that we've been able to get capital out there, and get folks to understand that. But we did have because of the sequestration, a lot of folks did have to go beyond and get more loans. And
yeah.
So it's tough.
Are you all in communication with, let's say, the procurement offices?
Yeah, we
supervise all the small business programs across the different agencies. And I mean, we drive policy on it. And then one thing that we've been very active in my region is personally reaching out to these folks on a personal basis. There's quarterly meetings, mm-hmm. there's calls, and just by doing something simple like communication and bringing them into our fold and having not a kind of we're grading you relationship, but hey, how can we help you get these, rates up, these numbers up? Let's work more closely. Mm-hmm. Just, Antonio's office, we've been able to increase this past year $2 billion.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. And we spend time going out to the federal agencies, our counterparts there at the procurement offices, their contracting officers, and actually provided information and training on how to use our SBA 8A program and other relationships that we have and programs we have here through SBA. So that's been really, really fruitful for us as well as for the people we've been assisting, because even though some of them have been around for a while, there's things that you just don't always get right.
Yeah.
And so when you can have the experts come in and tell you this is how this particular piece works, they better understand it. And for the new people that they have, because there's always turnover,
mm-hmm.
so if you've got a new contracting officer who may not have had exposure to some of the small business programs, so we help in that way. And then I also just want to emphasize, too, with our procurement center representatives who are based and sit actually in the federal agencies, but they're SBA employees, one of their big functions is to literally work with those contracting offices to make sure that whatever is going out for the best interest of small business whenever that's the appropriate thing
it's like
to do.
Internal affairs.
Yeah.
You guys don't play.
It's
crazy.
We might be a small agency, but we're everywhere.
Feelers everywhere. Yeah. No, that's good to know. That's good to know, because there are oftentimes where we sit back as a contractor going, what? What just happened? Yeah. Why did this do that? So it's nice to know that you all are the ultimate puppet masters, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Advocacy is a big part of our role.
Tomato, tomato, whatever.
Yeah. There you go.
So let's talk about things that you have going on, things that may not necessarily be public yet.
Yeah, so one of the big new things is we've got the women-owned small business rule.
Okay.
So we've been working... really with the Jobs Act for the last...
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, okay.
Small business right here.
Yeah, exactly. So with the National Defense Authorization Act of 2015, it gave SBA additional authority to provide sole source contracting to women-owned businesses. So literally, just yesterday, we released the new rule on the Women-Owned Small Business Contracting Program. So it's hot off the press, is about as hot as we're going to get. And so what that means is that there's more opportunities for women-owned businesses to participate in the federal government marketplace.
Often you hear those words sole source and woman-owned in the same sentence.
Exactly. Right. And so we have been really advocating for this because it's in the interest of everyone, you know, trying to get more women-owned businesses out there. And so in this way, the agency can just go directly to that women-owned company and say, okay, we think that you can do this, and it goes up to what, $6.5 million
for manufacturing? For manufacturing,
and $4 million mm-hmm. for other type of industries, and within those NAICS codes, of course. But
right.
it gives the opportunity for women to be able to compete and to be able to have a space at the table.
This is great news. Women-owned businesses, as I quote the press release here, are growing three times faster than their counterparts, yet the federal government has not achieved its goal by awarding 5% of the federal contracts to women. That's
mm-hmm.
startling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's startling.
Yeah.
So this is going to make this is a game changer here.
It is. Mm-hmm. We've been working on that for a couple of years.
So,
yeah.
That's very cool. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm going to be taking this with me.
Yeah, sure.
Please do that. Yeah.
Hoping to spread the word. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about before we go?
Well, you know, for us, it's really important to get the word out there. The SBA... We might be a small agency, but like I said, we're the only agency that has business as part of our name. We have really increased in numbers for increasing our minority-owned companies, being able to have a bigger part of the table. One of the things that I am really focusing on a lot is how do we bring research and development? How do we invest in innovation? How do we get more Hispanic, African-American, Asian-American companies to compete for those innovation grants, to compete in our SBIR program, to compete in our SBIC, our Small Business Investment Corporation. And so we've had, you know, a lot of activities mm-hmm. to try and get to help accelerators and incubators in the D.C. area especially. I just gave $550,000 to 11 incubators and accelerators. And so we were able to, you know, feed into those networks that are co-working spaces to help folks get started and get going.
And I would add, collaboration is a big thing for us as well. Pretty much everything we do, we're working with some other partner.
And on behalf of our boss, Maria Contreras Sweet, she's just a dynamic leader who really helps us understand and reach out to folks. And, you know, she being an immigrant from Mexico and just building her business here, she's a great example and role model for those small businesses that, you know, started small and got to be cabinet level positions. She's a great leader, and we're very excited to have her as our leader and administrator. So we can't ask for more. So she's been tremendous.
Her name is Natalia Olson Orteco. His name is Antonio Doss. Small Business Administration is where you'll find them. SBA.gov. It has been a true pleasure.
We've enjoyed it.
We've enjoyed it. Yes, absolutely.
CTP-web.com is where you'll find us. Thanks for listening to Ready to Prime. For Federal News Radio 1500 AM, I'm Alan Scott.